Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction tribe? It's 2019, we're ending, it's almost Christmas time, and I am honored to go into Studio AOC, and we got Sean McCraner, who happens to live right here in Denver, Colorado, who is the founder and CEO of Assigner. And today we're going to be talking through his platform, but the main message that I want to convey to the audience, and I'm going to challenge Sean to talk about, is we're going to talk about tools for end-to-end operations for construction and subcontractors and self-performing GCs. That's you that this podcast is designed for, contractors and affiliates to grow your business. And how is this going to benefit you? We're going to talking through about how we can improve your efficiencies, profitability, and safely through labor and asset management and digitization. So a few things that we're going to go through that I'm going to really challenge him on is I'm going to talk with him about how do we adopt mobility, because smartphones are the thing in the future. They've been here for a while, but now everybody's adopted them. And I want to have him, like, how do we get past the paperwork? And how do we get teams to embrace technology and designate champions and get owners to say, this is the way we go, because this is how you drive culture, accountability, and all kinds of cool stuff that he talked with me on the pre-interview. And I'm so jazzed to go into Studio AOC and have a fireside chat with Sean McCraner of Assigner. We're going to have so much fun. Lock and load, tribe. Here we go. What's your favorite beverage?
I love a good bottle of red wine. Australia is known for some great wine regions, but while I've been living in the US for the last 2 years, I've been discovering some of the best that North America has to offer. So right now, anything from the Willamette Valley in Oregon is number one for me.
Awesome. So you say living here, so Australia you mentioned first, mm-hmm. which is where your company Assigner is headquartered, right?
We actually changed the headquarters. So we're headquartered out of Denver, Colorado now.
Okay.
Although we have a team in Australia.
Okay.
We have about 20 of the team here now in Denver, Colorado. We've got a couple of team members in Sacramento, and shortly we'll have a couple more on the East Coast as well.
People can be all over with when you connect it right with the right mm-hmm. technologies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. What's your favorite place you've traveled?
That's a great question. We love Italy, my wife, and you know, I've got a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. We spent a lot of time in Italy a few years back, and we've been there a number of times. We love just driving through, you know, top to bottom, East Coast, West Coast. It's great. But if I had to pick a city that's my favorite place, I think it's Cartagena in Colombia. One of the most beautiful, spectacular cities, great vibe, Spanish architecture, with just that great sort of Colombian, Latin American vibe. It also helps that my wife's parents are originally from Colombia. They immigrated to Australia, so my wife is Australian, but you know, grew up with the Colombian heritage, so there's kind of a link there as well.
Awesome. Well, give us one story from your experience there.
Oh, one story in Cartagena. We were walking the street, and the heavens, it was like 110 degrees, a lot of humidity, really hot. And then the heavens just opened up, and we just got caught in the middle of this rainstorm, and the entire city flooded. I mean, it was like almost knee deep in the space of an hour. We had to run into a store, and we ended up sitting in this store with a lady just chatting to her. This is like really normal, apparently. It happens all the time, but it was like a totally bizarre experience watching a city get flooded and then drained out in, you know, just as fast a time. It was pretty mind-bending.
Awesome. Well, what's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction silos we're constantly trying to break down? We call the art of construction.
Yeah. So two favorite hobbies, I guess. You know, Australia's not known for its skiing. You know, we do have mountains down there that you can ski at, but most of the time, you know, if you're a skier, you'll travel to New Zealand. It's only a couple of hours flight, or you'll go to Japan. And so I grew up as a skier. My parents taught me to ski when I was, I think, 6 or 7 years old. So skiing is definitely it. it helps being here in Colorado. We love getting up to the mountains, and in fact, Mum and Dad are going to be here next week, so we're going to go take them up to Vail or Beaver Creek and go ski for a couple of days, so that'll be fun. My other passion is soccer or football. So, you know, grew up playing soccer as a kid, right the way through. These days, you know, I'm 41, so, you know, I'm kind of past my best. But I do like playing. I love playing five-a-side or six-a-side with you know, some buddies. But I'm kind of limited to watching it these days more than playing it, unfortunately.
Well, it's an honor to have you here and go through your story and what led you to founding and starting Assigner that we're going to talk through today. So let's go back and what led you to starting up Assigner in 2013?
Yeah, so I started a construction business with a colleague of mine back in 2007. This is in Australia. So we started this construction business on the basis that we thought we could offer a really good value proposition, meaning good systems and process, maybe start to leverage some technology. This was 2007, so it was a while ago. We kind of got bogged down building the business, as you do. You know, it was a startup back then. And, you know, we kind of grew this company from the standing start to today. We have about 200 to 250 employees, and we have a lot of heavy equipment. It's a railway subcontracting business. We have a training school as well where we can take folks in off the street that want to go learn construction or even upskill our existing workforce and give them the certifications they need to operate big excavators or cranes or other, you know, sort of heavy equipment. But, you know, winding it back a little bit, when we were, this was in 2012, 2013 timeframe, we were just struggling to grow. We were struggling to deal with all the operational management of a business like that. And so, you know, we were scheduling with a whiteboard. We had spreadsheets everywhere. Our crews were getting daily printed out pieces of paper, a little bit like what I saw in your back workshop area
right
there.
Right.
You know, very, very common. And contractors are struggling. You know, they really are drowning in the paperwork, drowning in the logistics. And so I said to my business partner at the time, I'm going to go out and find us a platform. We have an accounting system. We have a very simple estimating tool, but what we don't have is a way to communicate with our crews in the field and help them manage the work that they need to do, the tasks, the roles, the equipment that they need for the job, the logistics around materials and delivery. And so I went out and looked for a platform, an operational platform, and what I found was software that was pretty dated, software that had been around since the 80s or the 90s, didn't really have mobility, didn't have an app, and we'd noticed that a lot of our workers were now adopting technology. They were using smartphones. They were using Android and iPhones. Some were even sending us data from their phones. This was before we had a platform. And so when I went out to look for something to put into our business, I found these old school software, but they weren't born in the cloud and they weren't really kind of what we were looking for from a platform perspective. I found a lot of apps that do one thing. I found timesheet apps. I found form builders, but not really a single system of record, not really a platform that I could run my business on. So I said to my partner at the time, I think we need to build a platform. But if we build a platform, we're going to offer it to the industry. We're not just going to build something that's bespoke for us. I would like to be able to go and commercialize it and offer it to the rest of industry. So that was the genesis of the product. So we started that journey at the late 2013, early 2014 timeframe. Built a little prototype out, you know, of the product. It had an app. It looks nothing like what the product looks like today, but you know, it was a starting point for us. And we put it into our business. And at this point, our business was maybe 100 employees. We had maybe 30 or 40 pieces of equipment. We put it into our business and we saw an ROI really quickly. But here was the turning point. Our biggest customer at the time, they're a big multinational, multi-billion dollar general contractor. We're on a project with them. And the project director called us up one day and said, can you guys present at the next subcontractor forum where they get all of their subcontractors together? Because construction's very collaborative, as you know. Shared learnings are a great thing, especially around safety as well. So can you come together at our next subcontractor forum and show the audience how you run your business? Because we've noticed a difference. And this was my customer telling me that. And so we've noticed that you're using an app. We noticed that you're starting to do better communication with the fields and the crew. You are doing safety interactions. And so that was a really, really good turning point for us. We got up there, we presented the platform and how we run our business. We had some interest. We signed up 5 customers there and then. And that was kind of the beginning of the platform. And that was when, you know, I realized that it was time to really start thinking about taking it to market. So, you know, about 3 months later, I'd found my co-founder, my technical co-founder, Marco. He is in our Sydney office. And he and I basically went out and started building the product. So I left the day-to-day of my construction business and we started building our platform.
So super cool. Thanks for sharing that story. Is that you're in the railroad industry servicing that. You went to find a tool in 2007, 8-ish and said, I'm not finding anything. I'm going to build my own. Ironically, that's kind of how when I started podcasting, when I started The Art of Construction, I was like, I really wanted a podcast that's connecting all this stuff. And I found so many different podcasts that were The Roofer Show, which is great if you need to know roofing, or The Small Firm Architect, which is great. But there wasn't one that, because it's hard to be the open source to just say, come together. So that's really, I love that story and you know how it was born.
And you know what's interesting about that, Devin, is today we see a lot of contractors that have built their own software or are even exploring doing that today in 2019. You know, I think where we were a little unique, that just tells you how frustrated they are and just how they're screaming out for help. You know, we recognize that in my business. My background is I'm actually not a construction trained professional. I started my career in tech, but my partner in my construction business is construction trained.
Gotcha.
And so, you know, we felt like with my tech background and his construction background that we had a really good mix of being able to build a product and a platform. But, you know, that's where I think, you know, we've got a lot of empathy for our customers because I know what that pain is like. You know, you and I were talking about it before we started recording the podcast today. These businesses are really tough to run. Managing the crews, the installation, the tasks that need to happen, the logistics, when's the materials going to show up? When do we need to be on the job site? Are there any safety orientations? Oh, Jerry's sick. What am I going to do? I need an off-sider to help me unload the truck. All these things change by the day and by the hour. So, you know, we have a real empathy towards the pain points that, you know, subcontractors and self-performers have.
Gold. I'm so excited to go on this journey together because I'm listening to you and I want to be a customer of yours already just because I own a window and door business. And I think that's what kind of also makes us unique is that we're listening to these stories, but I also bring them back to here in Colorado where you saw my business and said, yeah, the whiteboards and all the things that were, you know, all of us trying to get to one tool, right?
Yeah.
And like you said, so let's start going into that and talk through, you know, so today we're going to be talking about tools for construction subcontractors and self-performing GCs. Sean, what are some of the top discoveries that you've seen for general contractors and their subs since launching Assigner in 2013?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of them that we've observed and we continue to observe. The big turning point for me in my business was that adoption of mobility. You know, we had our workers using smartphones, and like I said, some of them were actually sending us their time cards digitally. This is back in like 2010, 2011. They just want to ditch the paperwork. we have a mission at Assigner where we're all about empowering our customers to build more. We actually don't want you to use the technology because we understand that it's not the center of the universe. Building stuff is. And so we're very passionate about making the experience very easy for you to use, making it easy for the crews, the supers, the foremen, so that you can build more, because that's how you run a business, that's how you grow, that's how you make money. And so mobility was, you know, probably the first obvious thing for us. I think when you couple that with a lot of crews and workers drowning in paperwork, you know, it's getting complex. It's getting more and more difficult every day. And, you know, it's everything from the logistics right through to the installation, the quality, the safety documentation that's required. And why is that important? Well, you want to get paid, right? But Devin, you're an owner of a business. It's really important that you get paid by your customers. So you have to collect that information from the field. you have to make sure that your workers and your crew are safe. You know, that's really important. And so, you know, they're drowning in, you know, paperwork and these manual processes. where I think the opportunity now is, you know, to digitize some of those and make it easier so that they can build more. And that's really, you know, a way to empower the workers and the crews and the guys out in the field, because, you know, they have tough jobs. They work long days, they start early, they finish late. And, you know, if we can help eliminate some of that time that's taken producing paperwork, running it back to the shop, running it back to the project, I think, you know, that's certainly something we've noticed. One of the other interesting insights or discoveries that we've noticed is the field are ready to embrace technology. We see it on a daily basis. A lot of owners come to us and say, you know, Jerry's been with us for 20 years. He doesn't know how to use technology. I guarantee you Jerry's on Facebook checking out and engaging with his friends and children and grandchildren, and knows how to use technology. So we shouldn't discount that they actually...
That's fascinating to say. Like, maybe it's the person that's saying, I don't want to take on the tool. Maybe you need to look yourself in the mirror because you just don't want to change.
And we use
our team as the excuse to say, they won't use it, so I'm not going to do it.
I'll give you an example of that. So in our business back in Australia... we had one of our workers, he's Gary would have been, I don't know, in his late 50s, I guess. And he really embraced our product and our platform. But, you know, a lot of the time workers move around from contractor to contractor. And so Gary had an opportunity to go to a really big project and left our business. And so we were fine with that. He was been a great employee, great team member at our company. Gary came back probably 4 or 5 months later and asked for his job back with us after working on this big project. And the driving factor was that he couldn't deal with the chaos that is manual paperwork, phone calls, text messages, be here on this particular date and time, getting messages at 9 p.m. at night. Whereas, you know, in our business, we have this systemized way that we manage the schedule, we manage the dispatch, the communication. And he said, I just can't work any other way now. And so we've heard that, you know, I saw that in my business, but we've heard that from other customers as well. So to your point, I think, a lot of the resistance that we think might be there in the field isn't actually there. Quite often, you know, those that we think are going to resist technology actually embrace it first. And I think it's a really important piece that you have to designate a champion. You know, you have to identify who is it inside your business that is really going to be the champion from a technology perspective.
That's gold. And that you're not the first person that I've heard designate a champion.
Mm-hmm.
We did a deep dive series with BuilderTrend, mm-hmm. which is a great construction software platform mm-hmm. as well. And they Kale Cleithermis was one of their customers they brought in and we interviewed, and he said, when I, as the owner, stepped back and brought somebody that really wanted to take the plunge and own the BuilderTrend software, and he said the same thing. Once I designated that champion, it just went poof, and he said his company was changed forever.
Yeah.
So if you're not hearing that, then what are you hearing here? To say owners using technology to drive your business is key. What are some of the other things you've seen?
Yeah.
So if we get over the hump to say, okay, let's rip this Band-Aid off and look ourselves in the mirror and say, you better have a tool like Assigner that's connecting the smartphone field back to your mainframe, mm-hmm. which is another big conversation I think owners are trying to struggle with. Is it, you know, the Mac versus the mainframe, meaning Office 365 or something custom or a mixture of Google Drive and all these different things to say, how does a signer fit in? But that's secondary to understanding your business, right? Mm-hmm. Does it do more things? What are some other things you've seen, like with your people and accountability or something like that around over the years when people jump into using technology?
We've seen some really interesting things. I mean, a really common question is, can we pilot your product in our business? And so, you know, it's a big change management that, you know, owners and managers feel has to happen in their business. So, you know, a contractor may have, you know, 50 or 60 crew out in the field, and they say, we're going to start with 10. Can we roll it out to 10 of our crew members, and then we'll kind of gradually adopt the product? What we see, and we've seen this dozens of times, as soon as that crew of 10 is using the product, it goes viral. The rest of the company wants in. They want to start using the platform and the product. And so that tells you that they're in pain. They want a better way to do things. And so it's a really kind of great moment, you know, when our customer calls us up and starts screaming to roll it out across their entire business. I think some of the other things that we've seen, you know, from a culture perspective, contractors are able to really drive what's important to them from a values and from a culture perspective. So, you know, safety is a really obvious one, right? Our workers, our crews are in high-risk environments a lot of the time. Things can go wrong, and they shouldn't. Everybody deserves to go home at the end of the day.
Right.
You combine that with the long hours that our crews work. They work 10, 12-hour days. They spend an hour driving to the job, an hour driving home. They sometimes work Saturdays most of the time. So
doing the paperwork.
and doing the paperwork as well. And they're away from their families quite a lot. And you know, if we can deliver them a better way to get home more quickly, get home more safely, because we've given them a tool, not just a pile of paperwork that might be sitting in the truck that they need to do on a daily basis. So, you know, you think about using technology, not just from a, you know, running my business better, but really to drive that, you know, drive that culture home. In my business back in Australia, we used to, on the railroads, we would be working all hours of the night. So I would see my laborers and my truck drivers and my excavator drivers submitting a risk assessment at 2 a.m. in the morning. I can tell you, as an owner of a company, that's just, that's a game changer. My crew actually understand that safety is a really important component. It's a really cultural part of our business. And so to be able to drive that down to the crew is a really powerful message. I think the other thing that we've seen is...
But before, I just want to make sure, if I'm hearing right, you're saying the culture is this big thing for everybody's talking about culture. But what you're saying is, in today's world, technology can enforce or drive the culture if you really have taken the time to set forth the culture of your company.
That's right. That's right. So if you think about using technology as the tool to enable the crew. So like hypothetically, let's say you have 10 foremen in your company, right? And we want to get a daily toolbox talk and some risk assessments and maybe a safety share. We maybe want to share a learning about using the right type of gloves or, you know, be careful when working around open trenches or utilities or something like that, right? And as a company, as an owner, we say, we want to share that on a daily basis. We want to get that signed off by all of the crew and we want to get it back so that we can see that it's happening. That's a great kind of way to drive culture. So technology is a really easy way to do that because, to drive it from an accountability perspective, everyone carries a phone with them today. So that now there's one less excuse. I didn't have the paperwork. I didn't get the message. No, you have a mobile phone. So the message is delivered via the app. Now you can sign off on it. You can confirm that you got the message and you've communicated it to the rest of the crew. So the technology's been able to be used as a tool to drive that type of culture. If I have 10 foremen and I'm getting 7 of the 10 submitting that daily risk assessment or toolbox talk, well, now I can start to focus in on the other 3 that are not doing it. Maybe there's some reasons why. So, you know, think about like how you want to drive culture through your business and really drive accountability, I would suggest.
Awesome. Yeah. Gold. So let's get into Assigner a little bit, huh? So Sean, what are some of the top, you know, users for your tool?
Mm-hmm. So we have, you know, we've been talking a lot about the field crews. So we have, you know, a mobile app that field crews use for everything from accepting a job or a schedule, you know, and these can be daily, these can be monthly, weekly, or longer tasks or roles for a project. We help them manage safety, compliance, quality documentation, what materials we used on the job site, how many widgets did we install, who's my crew, who am I working with, what equipment's on the job site, and what sort of certifications might be required. So it's a very, very deep modular sort of field experience. You don't need to use all of those modules, but most of our customers get pretty significant benefit out of using all of those things. From an operations perspective, back at HQ, we're able to basically schedule and plan with our resources being people, equipment, and materials. So we can build out a schedule, we can dispatch that to the field, we can manage safety reminders, we can manage maintenance for equipment, and we can track the real-time cost as it comes back from the field as well. Are we making or losing money on the project? So it's very much like think about operations management from the moment you win the contract. You have to start planning the schedule, who's going to be on the job, what type of skills do we need, who are the crews. Think about it from that as the beginning point right through to the execution in the field. We're out there, we're building it, we need to collect the data from the field. We need to make sure that we're getting all of the information so that we know that the job's being run safely, that we're going to be able to invoice our customer or GC right through to the closeout of the project. And so, you know, when a lot of that information flows in from the field, customers are then asking us, well, what do I do with all this data? So we have a tool called Insights that's effectively a dashboard tool. And we can show our customers things like, are they making money on the project? Is there an under or over utilization? Do we have enough crew scheduled for the job for tomorrow, for next week, for next month? Do we have a number of our crew that are going to require refresher training for their CPR or for their working at heights? And so think about all the data. Instead of asking questions of my project managers and project engineers, I can jump into a dashboard and I can get a really good view of what's going on in my business.
Awesome. So that was a great overview of field crews, operations, and subcontractors. Mm-hmm. Are kind of the main kind of why Assigner would add value to your business.
Yeah, that's right.
Great explanation. So the next thing I want to say, so what are kind of some of the key things your tool provides?
Yeah. So, you know, we all know that subcontractors and self-perform contractors, they do most of the work on a project. And so there's a lot of logistics management that has to happen. We're managing workers, we're managing assets or equipment. We're managing other subcontractors that maybe work for us. We have to manage safety and quality. We have to manage timesheets. We have to manage time and materials, T&M tickets. We've got to communicate that stuff. And so, you know, that's a logistical nightmare. And so we've been able to pull all of those things into a platform that helps our customers manage all of those things in one central dashboard and communicate that out to the field via the app.
Where do I sign? That is
gold.
We'd
love to make you a customer, Devin. We'd absolutely love to make you a customer.
Well, let's talk about some customers. So can you walk us through like some problems or case studies that you've worked through with different Assigner members of your tribe that can now all be part of the Art of Construction
tribe? Yeah, great. So a really, really great one, you know, one that comes to mind immediately is Rich at Active Energy Solar. Rich is in Avon, Colorado, beautiful part of the world, as you and I know. It's spectacular, just past Vail, up near Beaver Creek, two great ski resorts. So Rich acquired a company called Active Energy Solar. And Active Energy Solar goes out and installs solar panels on residential and commercial and industrial construction projects. And so when you're installing solar, it's quite complex. It's not just about bolting the panel up on the roof. You have workers that have to commission the solar paneling. We have to prove that it's been commissioned correctly. They're working at heights, so that creates a safety risk if it's not managed properly. And so Rich came to us and, you know, said, I'm looking for a way to use technology so that I can scale my company out. We're only a small company, but I have plans to turn it into something much bigger. And Rich is not from construction originally, so I think he was from manufacturing. I could be wrong, but I think he has a background in, you know, process automation and, you know, systems improvement. And so we've been able to, you know, put in our platform with Rich, and Rich is really a change agent, I would say. He's really embraced technology, and his crews have. So, you know, he's using the platform to not only systemize the way he runs his business, but use it as a platform that he can grow and scale out. He has plans to become a much bigger business and grow, and he was smart enough to recognize that, you know, throwing people at the process is a less efficient way than maybe using a combination of people and technology.
Sure.
You know, we've got other contractors that use us. We have one up in Alberta, Canada, called Force Civil. Force Civil are an earth-moving contractor. And so, you know, back to all the logistics and planning, you know, they've got multi-million dollar fleet of equipment. So you want to make sure that you've got the right worker operating the right piece of equipment. That creates insurance risk if you're not doing that. How do we make sure that we're not going to hit underground utilities? Well, there's a bunch of checklists that happen, you know, before we start to dig in the dirt. And so with those guys, we've been able to help them, you know, de-risk their business, I would say, as well as get operational efficiencies, get those time cards, get those quality, safety, productivity reports in real time from the field. That's just a couple of examples that I can think of.
Great examples. And when you think of construction, you're jaded by what, you know, I own a window and door company, mm-hmm. so I'm like thinking supplying materials,
yeah.
but yet the art of construction is a big thing,
yeah.
from earth movers to solar panels to everything in
between. And I would say, you know, to your point, when we were walking around the back of your shop, installing windows and doors is no different to installing solar panels, like in terms of the business process,
right.
installing solar panels or digging a trench if you're an earth moving company. The same problems exist. We have workers, we have equipment, we have materials, we have time that we have to manage, we have logistics, and we have to collect data from the project, whatever the project may be, so that we can submit an invoice and get paid by the customer. And so I would say, you know, to your point, we just see this across industry, and construction is, you know, has been a laggard, as we all know, from a technology adoption perspective, but similar problem sets exist across all parts of construction.
Yeah, I totally agree. In Art of Construction Tribe, if there's one thing I've learned, we just went over 300,000 listens, and I go around in a big group of the tribe, is like, if I could just get this person to embrace or make the change that we talk about, crusty owner or crusty contractor, crusty architect, if you're not embracing technology and actually really looking at it to drive efficiencies in your business, you're going to be left behind. And I want to be that voice to help, including myself. I own a company, and there's things that are lagging, and we got to get better at that. And that's why we turn the microphone on and learn from each other to guide this together. So as a technology platform, this big vein Art of Construction has been going on and collecting different technologies that the focus has been taking these, a lot of people see as video games or all these different tools out there. How do you put them into their mainframe? But what is your crystal ball for taking technology and connecting them through handshakes for the future in construction?
I think technology is coming to industry. Like we know that, we see it on a daily basis. And so contractors are getting better at using technology. I think automation is something that's coming, and automation doesn't mean robots on the job site, although, you know, that technology is out there. Automation means, you know, walking into a geofence, and if I'm a carpenter, I walk into the fence and all of a sudden my app has all of the information available for me in real time. I don't need to rely on my crew or my workers to submit which project they're working on or what task or activity. So, you know,
that's fascinating. Like just-in-time geofence.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
You know, and this is technology that's been around
for a
long time. You know, this is not groundbreaking stuff. But I think, you know, going back to contractors just want to build more. They just want to keep building and do more of it. So, you know, our kind of, you know, sort of mission around that is how do we have them spend less time in the app and more time building more? And automation's a good example of that.
Right.
If Devin shows up to the project and he's the foreman, I'm not going to ask him the project. I'm not going to ask him the task. I'm going to tell him which crew he's working with, what roles or responsibilities we need, what information we need on a daily basis. And if we can do that, you know, in a faster time frame than him having to think about what's required as a business, then I think, you know, that's a big play.
Removing all the clutter so you can focus on your art within the construction.
Absolutely. And that's our mission. That's absolutely our mission.
Yeah, I love how your slogan on your sweatshirt, we'll take a picture and put in the show notes of build more. Like, that's the premise when I set out 5 years ago and everyone was like, you're doing what? You're doing a podcast to change the industry and truly connect contractors and affiliates to grow our business. Like, I'm so honored to be meeting and being part of Assigner. And it's funny how the global megaphone from Australia to us right here in Denver, Colorado, and I think just a couple years ago when our relationship was launched at Autodesk University and going around and continuing to build our businesses as influencers and leaders coming from humble beginnings of just the supply channel and a railroad company to say the technology it's been there for a long time. It's making it be an integral part of your business. And we're here now. And that's where I say, yeah, I did the keynote at Digital Built Week with Steve Burrows in Seattle this year. And he's like, it's one of the greatest times to be alive in construction because of the transformation that the efficiencies and back to what you talked about is spending more time with and doing the things you love and your passions, but not liking both, like your art within the construction and what makes you tick, like at the beginning of this podcast of you know, football and soccer and skiing, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to do more of that. So in closing, what's kind of your kind of call to action? I think your team put together some stuff for the Art of Construction tribe to check out your platform. You said there's like a trial or demo or anything you guys are thinking about putting out there.
So we want to extend an offer to all of the listeners, all the Art of Construction loyal listeners and devotees. We're really empathetic with our customers. Like I know how difficult it is to run a construction business, and it kills me when I see those whiteboards, the magnet boards, the pain that you go through running a business as an owner. So if you go to assigner.com /AOC, we'll have some information on the product, and we're going to offer 2 months free. You know, if you sign up for the platform, we have a number of folks that are able to show you what the product can do. We're really proud that we come from industry. We have very, very deep industry expertise, starting with our sales and marketing right through to our customer success. When you sign up as a customer, you will get a dedicated customer success manager that comes from industry. They understand your business. We're really, really proud that we've been able to sort of maintain that link back to industry. So go to assigner.com /AOC. I'm sure we're going to publish a link.
Yeah, so we'll make sure we put all that in the show notes. Thanks for extending that to the Art of Construction tribe. I'm honored to be the voice to just take all kinds of cool platforms and get special treatment to you on the Art of Construction. And it's assigner.com. But go to the show notes and we'll have all that information there about it. So do you have any other new things that you're going to be adding? You know, this recording, they're global and timeless, but any cool things that you're going to be working on for the net? What's next for this, the amazing Assigner?
Yeah, two things really excited to announce. We'll be launching a full first principles-based estimating platform in Q1 of 2020. We think we'll be ready to start having customers get on board with that in early January. So really excited to do that. Think about building out an estimate for your project from first principles, and then rolling that through to cost code work breakdown structure right through your operation and delivering real-time budget versus actual. That's the holy grail of construction. And so, really excited to, and we'll have some information on our landing page there. If you go to asana.com/AOC, we'll talk a little bit about estimating. The second thing, you know, is the launch of our data tool called Insights. So, you know, imagine being able to get real-time information insights on your business. I'll give you an example, and being able to customize those insights. I'll give you an example of what I mean. We have a customer of ours that does a lot of time and materials contracting. And so when you talk to the owner of that business, he will tell you that if he has 2,500 time cards and tickets submitted every month, he's doing really well. The business is healthy. They're growing. They're making money. That's a KPI or a metric that doesn't mean anything to a lot of other folks, right?
But
that's a really important metric for him and his business. With our Insights tool, we're able to show him how that's tracking on a daily basis. So for him, that KPI is really important to him. Now he can track it in real time. So with our Insights tool, think about those metrics that are really important to you. It could be fleet utilization, could be the number of projects, could be the number of new hires that we've created. Think about, you know, what are those KPIs that you just know in your own mind are really important as an owner of a business. Well, now you have a tool that can surface those and create a dashboard. So I'm really excited to launch that in Q1 as well.
Awesome. Well, the last thing we always ask is what of this great conversation we've had. I'm so proud of what you've done with Assigner, of like taking this idea from your business, solving the pain, to going out and being this amazing platform. And we're honored to tell your story. But what is that one thing that you'd say to contractors and affiliates out there? Think about this and execute it, and to really help grow your business.
Yeah, I'd say don't wait any longer. We're seeing contractors adopting technology faster and faster. It's changing by the day and by the hour. Don't get left behind. Technology is there to help you. It's there to help your business. I know that as a contractor myself, you get bombarded with marketing and the latest and greatest platform. Invest some time, create a project internally, and really sort of look at how technology can really help you and your business. It's a competitive advantage. It will help you grow your business. We have customers asking us for marketing material and references that they are submitting with their RFPs, with their quotes, to show their customer that they're not just like the contractor that you're comparing us with. We actually use technology. We are the safe pair of hands. We're going to get the job done for you. Oh, and here's how. And really, you know, that's what I'd say. You know, focus on how technology can help you build more. We want you to be building more. We want you to be growing your business. We want you to be managing your business safely, eliminating risk, making more profit, growing revenue, all of those things, and technology can help you. So that's my message.
Awesome. Sean, great stuff. Thanks for coming in and telling us your story.
Appreciate it, Devin. Thank you for hosting me. Love the Art of Construction, and you know, anything we can do to help the loyal listeners, we're all in on that. So awesome. Appreciate.
Cheers. Art of Construction Tribe, if there's one thing that you heard here is, if you're not embracing technology, you're going to be left behind. And in the world of today, the Amazon effect is everything is done faster, and you have to build more, because the efficiencies are to the point where it's hard to make money. It's impossible to make money if you run your business off of the whiteboard. It has to come together, and you have to connect the field to the office and drive efficiencies and get the right person in the right seat using those technologies, designating a champion. I couldn't agree more, and I'm honored to be affiliated with Sean and his team in making sure that Art of Construction Tribe, I'm helping you lead this to say, adopt technology, use it as your competitive advantage, and have it be your safe pair of hands to help you build more. Go to the show notes or go to assiganar.com/AOC. Schedule a meeting with Sean's team. Check out the 2 free months and use this to help you grow your business. Thanks. Crush it out there, tribe.